The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
The government remains deadlocked over the emissions reduction targets for the agriculture sector under the Climate Action Plan. Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue is due to meet coalition leaders today amid concerns over that proposed 30% reduction in agricultural emissions by 2030. Now, for more on this, we're joined by Gabia Gatavitskaita, political correspondent with the Irish Independent. Gabia, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, tell me what the story is here, because we've reports of that group of Fine Gael TDs and senators who are warning over carbon finger pointing. What are they at?
Yes, so it's a group of Fine Gael TDs and senators, which includes John Paul Phelan, David Santon, Charlie Flanagan, Paul Keogh, who are all former ministers, as well as Senators John Cummins and Gareth O'Hur, and they're criticising the false narrative around agriculture and the impact that it has on greenhouse gas emissions. They're saying that farmers in rural Ireland are being scapegoated over climate change. Now, of course, this all comes as tensions are building within the coalition. The government is expected to make a decision on that crucial target for the agriculture sector ahead of Wednesday's cabinet meeting. It's going to be the last cabinet meeting for several weeks as ministers go off and enjoy their summer a little bit. So I suppose there's a lot of pressure building within government. Now, Fianna Fáil TDs who I've spoken to, you know, they're also very concerned about it. The chair of the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee, Jackie Cahill, said that even the 22% target is a major ask of farmers. He's saying that to be talking anywhere over above that is nonsensical. He's saying there's no roadmap how to get to the 22%, and that that high target of 30%, which is what we're hearing, that's what Eamon Ryan is pushing for. He's saying that's totally unrealistic, and there's going to be resentment if farmers are asked to achieve what they can't achieve. Basically, Longford TD Joe Flaherty, he's also saying that, you know, he would be in favour of the 22% target and a midterm review, as was floated in the Business Post yesterday. But the initial target, he's looking for that 22%. So I suppose the speculation at the moment is that, you know, Minister McConnellogue and Eamon Ryan are going to have to meet somewhere in the middle at maybe about 24, 25%.
It could be argued that Eamon Ryan has achieved his objective, that the farmers are kind of resigned to a big reduction in emissions, you know, at least 20%, possibly 22%, 24%, but they're resigned to kind of 20%, whereas before they might have said, you know, get the greens out of my farmyard. We are producing good, clean food here. We're being treated unfairly by the emissions calculation regime because we're very different to the people who are producing the stuff in sheds feeding them some sort of processed food. We're doing it with grass. We're doing it in a healthy way. And they feel aggrieved about that. But if they're kind of heading towards 22%, Eamon Ryan could probably consider himself having done a good day's work.
Yes, of course. So, you know, the food that is largely produced by our farmers, a lot of it is also exported. It doesn't necessarily stay in Ireland. So, of course, the farmers have an argument to make that they are making, you know, world-class food, which is, of course, our beef. We're very well known for, you know, Irish butter. So, you know, it's really a major export for us as well. But of course, what happened last year was that the Climate Action Plan was published and each sector was given a range. So, for example, the agriculture sector got that 22 to 30% range. That's the cut that it would have to make in emissions. And the government kicked the can down the road and said, we're going to come back and we're going to come back with more specific targets. Now, of course, agriculture is the most, I suppose, it's the most important sector in the way that it produces the most carbon emissions. So that's why there's so much focus on it. But because the farmers have had all these months to get used to that idea of at least 22%, I suppose, Green Party leader and Minister for Transport, Eamon Ryan, he feels a little bit like he can, you know, push the boat out a little bit more. I think perhaps there is a understanding of the Greens that, you know, 30% is a lot to ask for. But of course, farmers are also making the argument that even 22%, that would mean a huge change in how farmers work. And it would be a huge task for the agri-food sector as it is.
All right. Thank you very much for laying out the political landscape there. Thank you very much to Gabia Gatavitskaita, who is political correspondent with the Irish Independent. Joining me now, Jim Mulhall, dairy farmer, chairman of the Kilkenny branch of the Irish Farmers Association. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
Now, let's talk about, is 22% acceptable?
Well, sure, Pat, as your previous caller has said there, I mean, the Climate Action Bill was signed into law last year. We were given the range of 22 to 30%. 22%, I wouldn't use the word acceptable, but it's probably achievable. And we have given the commitment that we're willing to, I suppose, back the 22%. And there is a willingness there on with farmers on my own behalf, I suppose, even to try and look at where we are going to have to make changes to the way we farm. And the 22% is probably as far as we can go, Pat.
Yeah. Now, the way all of this is calculated, I'm no expert in this at all. So I presume it's done on a headage basis, first of all, the number of livestock and what the average head of cattle will breathe out and belch out and whatever every year. The same for sheep, the same for goats, the same for anything that is farmed. That they do that. Then they look at inputs in terms of fertilizer, which has got carbon inputs. What else do they do? I mean, if you were to plant a set of trees, if you were to replant a hedgerow, do you get carbon credits for all of that?
No, you see, and I suppose this is the anomaly, and this is what has myself and other farmers scratching our heads in bewilderment, Pat. I mean, the 22% is there as a figure, but the minister and the minister's officials of the Joint Oireachtas Committee the other day have said like that we can take on measures with anaerobic digestion, with putting in solar PV panels, with afforestation, but none of these actually, Pat, will actually contribute to anything north of 22%. So there's even, I think there's even confusion within the Department of Environment. Like, it's pretty clear to me now. The minister has decided that he's going to push for the 30%. But the real issue here, Pat, is he has given us no pathway. He has given us no way that we can, as farmers, that we can achieve it. That we can take on measures on our farms to get from 22% to 30%.
Now, if you were to go to a farm in Kansas. And everyone remember the Wizard of Oz and that windmill blowing in the wind, which is probably pumping water into a well. But today, a farmer can have a farmyard-sized windmill that will produce enough power to power the whole enterprise and perhaps even export. Why would you be doing that? Okay, you could save some money, but you'd have to have the capital investment there. But if you don't get credit for the carbon saved, why would you bother?
You see, and this is the point we're trying to make. Like, there is no set of measures that we can take on beyond 22%. Like your windmill in Kansas, or our solar PV panels. These are all stuff that farmers are willing to do. However, it still doesn't help us get from 22% to 30%. And like the minister strikes me as a man that's full of ambition. I mean, there was a million cars. There was talks of a million electric vehicle cars on the road by 2030. I think everybody accepts that's never going to happen. It's the same with the 22, the same with the 30%. There is, he shoves out stuff with ambition behind it, but no real science, no real pathway. I mean, it's a separate budget. What you've just mentioned is that's the energy budget. We're talking here about the agricultural budget, Pat. And the energy budget, so if I take on measures on my farm, it won't be actually in terms of generating electricity. That won't get me beyond my 22%. It's a separate budget, and this is fundamentally where we see the problem.
It's also fundamentally unfair. I mean, if you take a farm as, if you like, a carbon generating unit, and then you eliminate part of that, and in fact you help others by exporting wind or solar to the grid, surely that should buy you carbon credits. But
no,
doesn't with the minister's ideas.
And this is the flaw. This is the point we're trying to make. And this debate has become extremely divisive, Pat. It has become divisive that it's urban versus rural. It's urban versus farming, and in the middle, there's a whole confusion piece that farmers are seen to be climate deniers, which isn't, look, an actual fact. I mean, we accept, look, we work with the climate to generate a livelihood, and we work with the weather to generate a livelihood, and we can see a change. So we understand that piece. But I mean, my farm is a carbon sink. My grassland, my hedgerows are absorbing carbon, but that's all a separate budget. So it's not going into the agriculture budget. And this is the point that we're trying to make to all and sundry.
Some of the text coming in. Joe says, before witnessing the damage caused by burning farmland during last week's UK heatwave, I was open-minded to the extent to which farming sector needed to contribute to emissions reduction. While obviously not as stark as burning crops, we need to recognise that certain farming emissions do contribute to the climate change that actually caused the heatwave. Another one, same old story with farmers, 38% of gases, 80% of river pollution, less than 1% tax take to the exchequer. When is the country going to grow up and take these people on for once and for all, says Michael. On the side of the farmers, has the government calculated the hedgerows which crisscross our countryside and are mostly maintained by farmers in measuring our net carbon emissions? European states have largely got rid of those to make farming more intensive. That's from Anthony. Just a thought, if we need to reduce the national herd to reduce methane levels and we're encouraged to eat more vegetables, then surely it's only kicking the can down the road, as it's no longer the cattle producing excess gas, but us humans. I'm not sure about that particular calculation, and I won't ask you to comment, Jim, on the idea that the belching and farting cattle would be replaced by belching and farting humans who are eating lots of veg.
Beans. But fundamentally, Pat, the 22%, I mean, this is the point. There's a narrative creeping in that the 22% is a free pass for farming. It is absolutely not a free pass. I mean, on my own farm, I'm going to have to take on measures that may affect my income. But look at, we're all part of society and we all have to do our piece. But the 22% is being bandied as a free pass, and it's actually going to be a significant challenge to all farming. Chagas have given us a pathway, what's called the MAC curve, to get us to 18, 19%. Every percent after that is going to be a massive challenge. So the 22% to me is the red line. Yeah. And I think the minister should be sticking to his guns on it. However, I mean, we have to be realistic too, but I do believe that 22% is as far as we can go. And it is a massive ask on agriculture. Mm. There is no free pass here.
By the way, Jim, what sort of measures is Chagas recommending that you do that would bring the emissions down? Is any of it to do with reducing the size of a herd?
No, I mean, it's to reduce. So methane and nitrous oxide are the two greenhouse gases that we emit as an industry. So we are changing the way we use our fertilizer, which is the nitrous oxide, our methane, and the way we manage our organic manures. And there is a lot of research there coming at the moment, Pat, in terms of feed additives. And this is something that I think can really help us achieve something. But the interesting part here, Pat, is like the feed additives are actually a bigger challenge to Irish farming because we're outdoor grazing grass. I mean, it's easier for our continental neighbours because the cows are indoors full time and they're eating the same diet 24 hours a day. So it's much easier for them to achieve the methane reduction because their cows are indoors. And this is, I suppose, the paradox to me and the whole thing, that our biggest challenge, because we're outdoor grazers, is the feed additives to reduce methane are going to be a challenge to get into our animals to have a kind of a breakdown over a 24-hour period. So Chagas are doing work in that regard, maybe that we could, you know, put a bolus or something into a cow that you'd have a slow-release bolus. But this is the paradoxic of the whole thing, that, you know, our outdoor grazing and our farming is in Ireland is actually creating a challenge for us to reduce our methane because we can't get the feed additives into them. So it's bizarre maybe in some respects. But that's part of the measures that are there. The way we breed our animals, as I said, the way we feed them, the way we handle all our manures. So, but that'll get us so far. And then we're going to have challenges in the way we manage our herds.
I'm just wondering, obviously, you know, there is a problem here in terms of emissions, but in terms of carbon credits, I'm just wondering, politically, have we missed a trick here?
Yeah, well, look, it's probably a separate debate, and there are people. Some of my farming colleagues will have maybe going forward may have in the distant future have carbon credits to sell. But I mean, all I can and it's a separate debate, really. To be fair, I mean, the debate as it is at the moment is where the ceilings are going to land. It's not just about carbon; it's about methane, you know, and nitrous oxide. So this is the challenge that's here and now, and it's going to be decided in the next few days. And I would say, Pat, we are probably at a watershed moment in Irish agriculture as to where these land. And I think the people who are making the most noise probably don't understand the real challenge that we are facing at farm level, and I reiterate, we are not looking for a free pass. We're willing to do our part, but 22% is as far as we can actually go.
Jim and Hall, dairy farmer, chairman of the Kilkenny branch of the Irish Farmers Association, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.